This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, your host for Citizens' Council Forum.
Hello again, everyone. This is Dick Morphew welcoming you to another in our series of special reports from Washington. Our guests today are two distinguished congressmen from two southern states, very well qualified to discuss some of the problems facing the nation and the South. On my right is Congressman Robert L. F. Sykes of Crestview, Florida, who's been a member of Congress since 1941, and he is a member of the powerful House Appropriations Committee. Also a member of the House Appropriations Committee is Congressman Jamie Whitten of Charleston, Mississippi. He, too, has been in Congress since 1941. And both of these gentlemen are very well qualified, as I said, to discuss some of the problems facing the South today. Very happy to have both of you with us today. And I'd like to start off the questioning, if I may, with Congressman Sykes. Have there been any trends in recent months towards counteracting some of this centralization of power in the federal government?
Dick, I believe that there is definitely a trend in that direction. Now, it may take several years for the trend to actually develop to the point that you will see a noticeable result by virtue of legislation that has been enacted. But we've seen a number of things that are happening now that shows that there are people, more and more people, who are concerned about this trend toward centralization, more and more people who are concerned about the grasp of power by the Supreme Court, more and more people who are concerned about the fact that state laws are being invalidated by the Supreme Court. So that I think that there is definitely a trend back toward states' rights, back toward decentralization of government. I don't think enough of our people who sit in the halls of Congress have been impressed with this fact to vote as they are beginning to see this situation yet. But I predict that within a matter of time, as more and more people become more and more familiar with the problems, for instance, problems of segregation and integration, and realize what the real problems are, what the real issues are, that you're going to find a different concept and a different attitude.
I see. Congressman Whitten, could you tell us some of the specific examples of things that have been done recently?
Well, we have done several things. First, H.R. 3, which we are all familiar with, was passed by the House, and we hope for the same action by the other body.
Just for a brief rundown, what does H.R. 3 do?
Well, it briefly, in a very few words, 72, I believe, to be exact, would provide by law that the fact that the federal Congress had acted in a given field would not preclude or invalidate all the laws in that field by the various states unless it was specifically stated in the Act of Congress. However, I'd like to add a little bit to what my friend Bob Sykes has said about the public awareness, and after all, Congress sooner or later, in my opinion, reflects public opinion. I think early that various Supreme Court decisions were felt and recognized only by those that happened to be right where the lick hit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now that they have encroached in so many fields, in immigration, and instructors in the schools, and precluded states from running their own affairs, precluded the federal government from running its affairs in the way of exportation of people, And now they're beginning to see that if the court takes to itself absolute power in a particular field, they have thereby taken to themselves the right to set up absolute power in any field. And we can already see the pattern coming to the point it's being felt in various sections of the United States, as much so as we felt it in the South in the first desegregation decision.
Mm-hmm.
Dick, may I comment briefly on H.R. 3? Because I think that is the most important one bill that the House of Representatives has passed during the current session of Congress, one of the most important in my time in Congress. Because H.R. 3, while it's a very simple measure, a very short measure, would stop the wholesale invalidation of state laws by the Supreme Court. And we've seen a greater and greater trend on the part of the Supreme Court in recent years to set aside in wholesale the laws of the various states. As Jamie has pointed out, the H.R. 3 would permit concurrent jurisdiction of laws in which both the state and the federal government have enacted legislation, but it would permit the state to enforce its own law unless there is a direct conflict between the two. The Supreme Court has moved into so many fields recently that unless this trend is reversed, it isn't going to be long until the states have no power left except to regulate the federal regulations.
When H.R. 3 was passed in the House, it won by a very comfortable margin.
And that, Dick, I think very clearly points up the question which you first asked me. We were surprised at the decisive victory in the House that H.R. 3 enjoyed. The vote was about 150 against 254. As a matter of fact, when the debate on the measure started, there was some question that it would be passed at all. Well, it was passed decisively, and that in itself, I think, is a very strong indication that there's greater and greater awareness that the people, through their elected representatives in the Congress, must reassert themselves against centralization in government.
Do you think that a measure such as H.R. 3 could have been passed 2 or 3 years ago?
I doubt it seriously. I think that the trend in the other direction was reaching its greatest heights at a period of 2 to 3 years ago. I think now the trend has reversed itself, and there's an awareness even on the part of the administration and perhaps even on the part of the Supreme Court that they've gone too far.
But the people who have been aware all along that this trend was a dangerous one have no cause to relax their guards now, do we?
Certainly not. We can be sure that the people who want the centralization of government are going to continue to do what they can to get it. The people must work harder than ever now that there are indications that the trend is being reversed.
Congressman Whitten, how do you feel about passage of H.R. 3? Did that vote represent a significant reversal of the field from some previous actions of Congress?
I certainly think so, Dick. It's my opinion, and I don't mean to get in personalities here, but those of us from our section of the country who have been foreseen what was happening to us, who've been worked hard and been united in our efforts along this line, have had sometimes a lip service from some of our colleagues and maybe their record vote when they had to vote, but quite frankly, we've had lots of members that talked all right and voted on the record all right, but who really didn't help. Mm-hmm. I think public opinion has crystallized to put a little strength in some of those members. I think that H.R. 3 and its passage is not only a realization by the membership of the House, but it represents behind that membership an awareness on the part of the public. And I do think that, as you're doing here and as others are doing, bringing this home to the people will bring about either an improvement in the actions of their own representatives and at the White House, or it'll bring about a change where you'll get someone who will stand for these things. It's my opinion, if I might pursue it further, that this court never would have had the courage, false courage perhaps, to get on this limb if they hadn't felt that they had the support of the executive department. Now, in that, I'm not just trying to point the finger in one direction as against the other, but in recent years, both parties and the candidates of both parties have been on a platform that went far afield from sound government in many, many of its aspects. Now, if we could people get aroused enough to where they won't take that kind of a candidate for the presidency or that kind of a candidate for the Congress, we will see some improvement. And as tragic as it is to see the Supreme Court usurp the powers of the people and rewrite the Constitution in every field, the wider they have spread their activities, the more public support we're getting all over the country.
That is certainly an encouraging report.
Dick, don't you think it would be well for us to point out that H.R. 3, which we have discussed, only touches on one phase of the problem?
Right.
I think one of the major things that we must try to do in the years ahead are to secure the enactment of a number of pieces of legislation to stop the present trend of the Supreme Court. I think that Congress, by the action of the House, has demonstrated that it can reestablish a proper balance between the Supreme Court, the courts, the legislature, and the administration. I think it's essential that we do that. The rulings of the court have been very disturbing in many fields. For instance, out of the 39 cases affecting communism which have been before the Supreme Court in the last couple of years or so, they have ruled in favor of the communists 32 times. That is a shocking and a distressing thing. And I don't think Congress can dare to relax in its efforts to bring about a correction insofar as Congress properly can bring about corrections. Of course, basically, you have to have the right kind of people on the court to ensure the right kind of decrees.
Getting on to another topic, if I may, in your work on the Appropriations Committee, I understand that you are the author of an amendment to an appropriations bill concerning the use of federal troops for occupation duty to carry out court decrees.
Yes, that is true, and Congressman Whitten worked right beside me in an effort to secure the adoption of language which would have prevented the use of federal troops for occupation purposes or to enforce decrees from the courts on civil rights matters. Unfortunately, we were voted down on the amendment. I think that it was a proper amendment. The people don't expect their money, their tax money, which is voted for the defense of the United States, to be used to stand guard over little children in the high schools of this country. And I think the amendment should have been adopted. It was disappointing that it was voted down, but I think we made a very strong case and showed to the government that Congress is seriously concerned with this matter and will continue to take other looks at it.
And I think all three of us join in the hope that the use of troops to enforce court decrees will be a moot question in the future. Gentlemen, our time has gone by very quickly today, and it's all gone at the moment. Our guests on this particular program have been Congressman Robert L. F. Sykes of Florida and Jamie Whitten of Mississippi. Join us again next week at the same time, when we'll be back with another in this series of special reports. Till then, this is Dick Morphew saying thanks for being with us, and so long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens' Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. The Citizens' Councils believe that a nationwide program of education and information is the most effective way to meet these dangers. Each of us has a job to do. Join and support your local council. For information, write Citizens' Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens' Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.